Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I am your host, Laura Reeves, and this is a conversation that I have been trying to finagle for, 5 years. And so I'm super excited, you guys. Today we have Dr. Vandra Huber. She is joining us to give a wonderful overview of the Terrier Group. We've done this. We did Dale Martinson with the Toy Group, and we had the Sporting Group, and it's going to be so cool. All right, you guys, let's be honest. Sending puppies home is a big milestone. But the questions and follow-ups about potty training, those can be endless. So that's why I'm excited to share something from our partners at Brilliant Pad. It's called the Potty Training Concierge, and it's completely free. Check it. Your buyers get a one-on-one call with a Brilliant Pad expert before the puppy even leaves your house. They walk through setting up a potty area, how to create a consistent schedule, and what to expect those first few days. It's real support tailored to your program that helps new owners feel confident and keeps you from being on call 24/7. So even if you don't use Brilliant Pad yourself, this program still works. If you're looking for a simple way to help your puppy families and protect your time, go check it out. It takes less than a minute to enroll, and it's a game changer for your program. That's brilliantpad.com/potty. Don't forget to tell them Laura sent you. So I'm really thrilled, Vandra. Thank you for finally acquiescing to my begging.
I'm delighted to do it. You didn't really have to beg. We just had to find a slot.
Yes.
To do it.
Yes.
So we're doing it now.
Putting it in. So Vandra, give us a little background. Give us a little, we call it the 411. You had a best in show dog at Westminster, Peggy Sue, in 1995. Am I correct? With Maripi Handling?
Correct.
Okay. Talk to us a little bit about your sort of scope of Scottish Terriers, because it's really impressive.
Well, thank you. I've been in Scottish Terriers for about 45 years. I grew up with cats because my mother hated dogs. So I gave myself a Scottish Terrier when I graduated from college. Mm. And that was my beginning. I didn't get into showing like many people when I was a child, obviously, because I only had Rusty the cat and Ming the Siamese cat. So I didn't get into it until my 30s when I'd actually graduated from grad school and was in New York. So through the years, our kennel name is McVan Scotties. My husband, Michael Krolesky. So it's derived from Michael, Mike, Nick, and my name, Vandra Van. So we've been in existence for a long time. I have been fortunate. I tend to be what is called a type breeder, as opposed to just merely lines. I tend to breed based upon what looks right together. I don't care who owns a dog. If it has something to offer my breeding program, I'm going to breed that dog. So I've been fortunate. I have had owned a dog. I didn't breed it. That won the Westminster Dog Show. I did breed a dog that went best in show at Crufts, the world's largest dog show in the world. I sent the sister to Europe because she was a little bit bigger dog. And I kept the other sister home with me, who I considered more of a breeder's dog. So Canopa was the all-around dog, and Betsy was the breeder's dog. I've been fortunate to have Judge Montgomery now for this 2 times, just my breed. I did it last in October this year.
Yeah.
And I am proud to say we did not have rain. I had sunshine. So that
well, that for Montgomery, that's basically, you know, the angel singing right there, Vantra.
Yes. I try to give back in the ways that I can. So I'm currently the president of the Washington State Scottish Terrier Club, which serves not only Washington, but Oregon, Idaho. You know, we're vast out here in the West.
So you got to cover a lot of ground.
Right. I also currently am editing the 125th anniversary edition of the Scottish Terrier Club of America's handbook. So I know all types of information you knew you never wanted to know, but I can tell you about because I've been editing this journal and found out about lots of things.
I love that. That's a great project. And in your day job, you are a professor at UW, still retired now.
I'm retired. I was a professor of management and human resources at the Foster School, University of Washington. The two things kept me in balance. So if school was going bad or I was up for a big promotion, then the dogs kept me sane. And when the dogs weren't keeping me sane, school kept me sane. So
perfect.
Kind of is a balance there. And I think that's what dogs generally do for people is they provide them with the comfort and soothing they may need or the motivation to try something new and different.
100%. So give us the sort of 30,000-foot overview of terriers. We're going to segue a little bit later into why the number of people involved in this group seems to be dropping off, but let's talk about why it shouldn't, why they are so fantastic.
Well, terriers are designed to do just what the word terrier means. Terrier comes from the word terra. So these are dogs that do have jobs, just like other groups of dogs have specific dogs. And the work that terriers perform relates to earth functions. So we have everything from the short-legged terriers who have to be a bit tenacious, okay, maybe a lot tenacious, to go into burrows and think about if you went into a burrow or even saw a badger. Could you drag that badger out with your teeth and get out of a burrow and bring it back? Or then we have the smooth fox terrier, whose job is to accompany individuals on the hunt and to be clever enough to round up that fox and alert the hunter as to where that fox is hiding. And yes, they are a little bit sly too. And then we go to the larger terriers, coated terriers, I'll add, and their work is usually more above ground. So shorter the legs, the more into the earth they go. The taller the legs, the more they work on top of things. And you've got to think that most terriers come from the British Isles. So you've got rocky terrains, you've got grass, you've got burrows to dig in. And oh yeah, Scotties and short-legged terriers are extremely good as mousers and in digging up any tulips you might plant that they see you plant. They do that very efficiently, I learned very early.
So they're good gardening helpers, is what you're saying.
Oh, definitely. We now hide them in the house when you plant your flowers in the fall. So I once had one Scotty dig up 250 tulip bulbs.
Oh my God.
And bite them in half. So
the other piece of takeaway here is that tulips are not poisonous, at least to Scotties.
No, they're not poisonous. The bulbs are not poisonous to Scotties. They're just another little thing to crack. And they'll shake their head when they do it because that is how they might kill a prey, is they have very strong jaws. Some reports will say that a Scottish Terrier in particular has teeth the size of a German Shepherd. Mm. And yes, I judge both, and they are big teeth.
Because, like you said, they're not only in the burrow, they have to bring it out and kill it.
Yes, yes. And they are awesome squirrel hunters. So a terrier, when it is playing into its natural instincts, you also have to be a little tough. Because like a cat, they're going to bring that dead prey to you very proudly. It could be a bunny. It could be a squirrel. a badger. I personally had one of my Scotties go up against a raccoon, but my friends sure have. So any of those types of creatures are fair game, because most of the terriers believe they are bigger and stronger than almost anything else.
I showed an Irish Terrier one time, and the owner's description to me was that the Irish Terrier should own the ground it stands on, and your ground and the other guy's ground.
That's pretty correct. Now, I do want to not have people think that Scotties or Terriers are vicious.
Right.
They really are people dogs. Mm-hmm. My Scotties sleep together. Most of the Terriers, although not all, live together. They're in a group or a band. And mine only usually bark, one, when they want attention, two, when the UPS or now Amazon man comes to the door. I like them better than an alarm on the door or a door knocker, because I know that something has come.
Yes.
And I would say that's the same up and down the line.
Mm-hmm. And talk about, because I want to cover sparring too, but I'd like to do a little section here on the bull breeds, because they are different and they have different personalities and they do different jobs.
Yes. As to the bull breeds, they've actually, I think, increased a little bit in popularity because they're kind of silly fun.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you not like a dog with an egg-shaped head who kind of waddles a little bit and looks at you out of those nice, soulful eyes and says, yeah, I'm ready to go play and do my type of work. So their work is different. They've changed over the years. They're, in my opinion, sounder than they used to be, meaning they used to tolerate very undershot bites. Now most of the bites are correct, at least as they're shown at American Kennel Club.
Mm-hmm. And the Amstaff, Staffy Bull, all that, we don't spar any of those, if you will, that group of bully breeds.
No, because their jobs have been different. The Amstaff, the Staffordshires were used in many years ago, not today, in bullfighting rings to harass, I guess you would say, the bull so that it would give in and be more off guard to the bullfighter. And so they're built differently. Their rear ends, where most terriers are pretty straight and have space between their rear legs, these dogs have their legs closer together so they can pivot and swerve very quickly around a bull that they're fighting. And again, I stress, they're not used for that anymore.
No,
thank goodness.
No, but they are a different personality, different type of, you know, in the scope of the terrier group, there's a lot of variety, I think.
That's one thing I particularly like. I not only show my Scotties and have shown other breeds among terriers and a few herding dogs, but I think it's important to enjoy the diversity that we have. Not all groups are that diverse.
Right.
And each of the little clusters of terriers have their own personalities as well as their own functions. And that's what makes them a joy to be around. And I might add, they're as diverse as the people in terriers. They're kind of quirky too.
The terrier group of people is a very specific group of people. You know, we have breed communities all across the country, but terrier people, talk to us about terrier people. They are a lot like their dogs.
I must confess that I'm rather tenacious. And yes, many terrier people, they're persistent. So since some of your viewers may not be dog people, they may be cat people thinking of adding a little spice to their lives and getting a dog. But like a cat, they can be very patient and wait out. So I once watched one of my Scotties, and there was this squirrel that was taunting not only Maggie McMuffin, but my other dog at the time. And this squirrel would walk across the line in front of our back porch, stroll along the fence, just really annoying these Scotties because it was up in the air. And the Scotties bided their time. And then when the day came that that little squirrely landed on the ground, that was it.
The end.
Bye-bye squirrely. So, patient.
Yes.
And I think I like watching some of these games. I mean, most dogs will shake a toy, but terriers shake the toys with great enthusiasm.
Great vigor. Yes, indeed.
Yes. Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute.
Hey, you guys, does your dog have itchy, like sensitive skin? If so, think about trying the new ProPlan Veterinary Supplements Skincare Soft Chews. This supplement is specially made to support dogs' skin health, including conditions like sensitive skin and seasonal allergies. ProPlan Veterinary Supplements Skincare Soft Chews feature collagen, EPA and DHA, vitamin E and zinc to support the dog's skin health. Omega-6 and omega-3 fatty acids help maintain the natural skin protective barrier. Vitamin E provides antioxidant support, while zinc offers immune support. So look for the National Animal Supplement Council quality seal on the package that certifies that skincare soft chews meet the highest quality and compliance standards for pet supplements. They also taste great and are easy to add to your dog's daily feeding routine. ProPlan's Veterinary Supplements Skincare Soft Chews are available via the My Purina app or by visiting purina.com/mypurinaapp. where you earn points on every purchase. You can also buy it online at Chewy and Amazon and in stores at Petco. And I think, you know, you can't leave out some of the more fantastical of the terriers. Think about the Dandy, right? Or the Bedlington that don't have wire coat.
We have a terrier called the Glenarvan Mall in our group, and this particular breed would work in the mills and work on the water wheels and help turn that water wheel so they could work hard and long. These were your basic kind of farm dogs. So Scotties and the short-legged terriers would accompany a Todd Hunter when he was going visiting farms. And Farmer Jones said, I really have a rat infestation in the barn. Ooh, delightful, said the terrier. Let's go get those. I think the record was by a Manchester terrier, and I think it's like 240 rats within like a 5-minute period.
Crazy.
It's an outrageously crazy record. Much cheaper for New York City. And yes, after the elections, there are some new people in control, but it would be much cheaper to bring in a few terriers, let them rid New York of the rats and the mice and the vermin, then pay a vermin chief of staff $250,000. That just for the great glee and fun of it.
Well, I had Reynolds, the guy that takes the terriers out to the Staten Island, had him on. Is Richard? Am I getting that right? I missed it.
I think it's Richard.
Yeah. Anyway, he was fascinating. His stories about the terriers ratting on Staten Island. It's like, that's the real thing right now.
I am glad. I hope they get more work. A funny story is I had a Scottie with one of my early Scotties with a handler that's quite famous named Marithi Woolridge. He is now a judge. And Marithi also showed Airedales. Mm-hmm. And for her Airedale, she had a little mouse that she perhaps kept in her pocket when she was showing the Airedale to keep its attention.
Like a real mouse? Like a mouse mouse?
It was helping a real mouse. But every night, that little mouse would go to sleep in its little cage. Unfortunately, that little cage was in front of my Scotty's cage where it slept at night.
Oh,
I can only imagine how long that poor little mouse taunted my poor, sweet, loving, okay, fierce hunting Scotty.
Right.
So apparently, one night, the kennel help forgot to latch my Scotty's cage, and they asked for it. So I got a bill for $1 to replace the mouse, which was left there for all to see.
Oh, my God.
Wonderful. Now, I think they now cost, I've been told, you can rent a mouse for $5 for earth hunting trials. So, you know, this was quite a while ago when the mouse cost $1.
Okay, now, I have been known to take a pigeon wing in the ring with my sporting dogs or, you know, wave around a whole frozen pigeon. But a live mouse in your pocket, Marippy, God love you, man. That's a whole nother thing.
I have not gone that far, but I do find that if you go to Alaska, you can buy a coyote tail or a fox tail fairly inexpensively, and they are great fun to play with your terriers.
Yes.
I might also add that one of my friends had a black lab, and the lab enjoyed the Alaskan imported coyote tail, too.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
Now, I know more people laugh at this kind of stuff, but it is quite humorous to me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Dogs do what they do naturally, for real. And I think it's always, you know, if you're going to have a terrier, it's good to know they kill some vermins.
Well, on the other hand, I took one of my Scotties to a herding trial to just see how instinctive. Mm-hmm. I had a bearded collie, and the bearded collie passed with flying colors. The herd master said, oh, it's okay. Take your Scotty off lead. And we had decided to use ducks. Big mistake. My Scotty did not try to herd.
No ducks?
No. Well, she jumped immediately on top of the ducks. And I yelled out, Maggie May, stop that right now. And she looks up like, what? And I said, well, come here right away. Because I was afraid I would be buying ducks and be banned.
Yeah, you'd have bought a lot of ducks.
Yeah, no, the duck didn't live to see another herding trial. And Maggie May just slinked away. The herding master did flunk her on her herding instinct test.
That's probably real. I'm thinking that's a real thing. So talk to us a little bit. You and I were at a dog show this weekend, and we were talking numbers. The terrier group, there's such a wide variety. And with the exception of maybe like Amstaffs and some of those, a lot of the numbers, they're just falling off a cliff. So talk to us about that, why you think that is, and ways that you have considered to help bring people back to participate and appreciate this group.
I've been privy to the American Kennel Club puts out an annual report for each breed of dogs that identifies how many dogs have been registered each year. So we go from something like 50,000 French Bulldogs registered in a year to less than 980 Scottish Terriers to maybe 14 Sealyham Terriers.
Right.
So our numbers are shrinking. And I compare that, and again, most of my knowledge is Scotties. But Scotties were most popular in the 20s and 30s. Mm-hmm. Every film star from Humphrey Bogart to Bette Davis owned a Scottie. There was a special club in California populated only by movie stars. You had to have a Scottie and you had to be a movie star.
Oh, my God.
So some of us were left out.
Well, FDR have a Scottie? Wasn't that?
FDR had a Scottie. We're quite popular with presidents. Dwight D. Eisenhower had one. President Bush had a Scotty. They're very thoughtful, soul-seeking dogs. Under my desk are a couple of dog beds, and they just curl up and keep you company while you're going about your work business. I think a story on FDR is that he said, you can poke fun at me as a president, but when you attack my dog, Fala, you have gone too far.
That is a favorite story. And so the hand stripping, there's a lot of coat work to do it right in a lot of these hard-coated terriers. And it's scissoring if you're talking about a Kerry or a Wheaton. I mean, there's a lot of work that goes into these breeds. Do you think that
is why? Yeah, these are not good dry dogs.
No.
In general. Yes, you might say closer to drip dry if it's a Bowie or a Staffy or an Amstaff. But there is coat work involved. Most of them are actually hyperallergenic, and because they have a double coat, they don't shed. Mm-hmm. But then we're also ripping out the undercoat anyway to make them have beautiful lines. So people who have an artistic inclination, this is a great breed for you because there is some sculpting and visualization of the dog that goes into it. I particularly like the coat work once I start. It takes a while to get me started because I'll have some friends over from the dog club. And it's sort of like a dog lover's quilting bee, meaning you're doing the work, but you're talking while you're doing it. You're helping one another. And when you finish, you have something beautiful. Now, finishing them to perfection, not all of us can do. And I do not claim that I can finish to perfection. One of the most famous terrier people was a man named Rick Kashudian. I once sat and watched him to learn for a full day at a dog show. I showed my dog early in the day, and I just was fascinated. Like a master sculptor or a painter would pluck a couple of hairs off of this wire fox terrier he was showing, step back, and see the effect. Then he would go work and pull a couple more hairs. That's how precise the expert masters are. Regarding a Kerry Blue, different type of work. As you mentioned, they are often scissored. Another famous handler was Bill McFadden, and he had a very famous Kerry Blue. I think I made a mistake being in the room next to him because all night long before Montgomery, all I could hear was not what you might hear in a hotel room, and I'll leave that to your imagination, but I heard these scissors going, he spent the entire night grooming that Kerry Blue to perfection. Mm-hmm. And Mick was exquisite.
He was. He was, absolutely. That was my all-time favorite terrier and the one that I happened to be showing the Irish at the same time. And I tell Bill this all the time. I saw a great deal of his ass because I was never ahead of him.
Well, I think that perhaps the most famous cover featuring Mick was from the rear end on Dog News.
Yeah.
And it said it all because that dog swept the terrier ring and the show ring and left everyone behind.
Nobody ever saw anything but the behind of that dog.
Yeah. That dog is on my top list of top terriers.
Yes, absolutely. So besides the therapeutic results of hand stripping, like, what's your rah-rah? Come get yourself a terrier. It's a great group of dogs. I mean, I have a lot of people that are new dog owners. What's a great encouragement to them to find a terrier breed to love and make their own?
I think because there's something for everyone in the terrier group. So if you try us, you will stay, kind of. I forgot how that saying goes exactly, but basically you try one out, and if we don't have the right one for you, try another one out. So not only is each breed unique, but across the entire group, there's something that everyone can enjoy and love. And most of the time, they also get along with other dogs. So I've had bearded collies with my Scotties, and they've gotten along wonderfully. Well, at least one of them got along. The other was the problem of the herding dog. Herding dogs are designed to gather and herd and bring things together. And the second bearded collie that I had was a little too enthusiastic because Scotties like to stand their ground and be their own dog.
And they are not
herded. Like being herded, yes.
I can't even try to imagine that in my mind. So, okay, final question. I gave you a half an hour to think about it. Just imagine it. This is my favorite question to ask all my judge friends. Imagine in your mind, you're judging Best in Show at Montgomery. So it's only terriers. And you're going to take all of the terriers you've seen in the last 45 years. And you're going to pick your top four.
Oh. That is pretty tough. So we definitely have Mick up there. I have to add one Scotty that I never saw in person is Carmichael's Fanfare. And she was a Brindle girl. And to me, she epitomizes, and remember, dogs and how they're groomed change over time. But her style, her type, her short back has been a consistent common reference point. So she has to be on the list, because if you see a picture of her, you know right away, this is a darn fine Scottish Terrier. So even though I didn't see her in person, I have seen so many pictures that she has to be on my list. Ooh, I guess I might add, I fell in love with Fox Terriers when I saw Amy Rutherford's dog, Dover?
Right.
Dover. And the exquisiteness, and he walks differently than a Scotty because, remember, they're taller and the length of their bones varies, so they're going to walk differently. But that one commanded the ring, in my opinion. So I would have to take him home.
Okay.
He would be hidden from Amy Rutherford.
Amy might beat you up, but, you know, that's okay. You know,
so I think I have to add that one to my list. Ooh, what else? Can I be selfish and add my Peggy Sue?
I mean, she was pretty spectacular.
With Peggy Sue, and there's a nice story about Peggy Sue. Peggy Sue was bred by an Oregonian named Camille Partridge. Camille had modest means, but she had me evaluate the litter. And she decided, and her co-breeder decided, to keep two others. And she was a shaggy little Scotty at the time. And I saw her and felt her. It's the feeling of a terrier's body that gets you excited if you're a judge or in love with a breed. I felt her body under all the shaggy hair, because they can look pretty shaggy, like old Follow used to look. So she had not been show groomed. She was shaggy. But I says, I really love her. And I says, I don't have money right now. But I said, but I could pay you overtime. And Camille, with a generous heart, looked at me and said, why don't you take her? And I says, what? And she says, I know and I believe that you will do something with her, and I can't do that. Okay, so I cried then. And I says, are you sure? And she said, yes. And all she asked was that sometime down the line, if she wanted to use one of her kids as a sire, that I give her the stud fee for free. This particular show dog did not even walk on a lead till she was 11 months old. She was a dog unto herself. But I guess why I add her onto the list is because everyone thinks that Maripi did everything, but I put her first best in show on her in Canada by myself. Now, watching her get that best in show was Ann Rogers Clark, who became one who really liked her. And she looked at me and she says, you did pretty good, Vandra, but you are putting her with Maripi, aren't you? So I knew then that I could do more with her. So she was with Maripi for several years. People don't understand why you might place a dog with a handler and let the dog live with the handler. It's because you believe so much in the dog that you want the rest of the world to enjoy her. So I consider it like sending your kid off to the best school you can possibly find for their talents. And so she was there, and I kept thinking about, she'll come home and have puppies with me. So that's what kept me going during that period of time. And Peggy Sue didn't disappoint. It's been a long, long time, but she still holds the record for winning the most national specialties of any Scotty in history. So that's kind of why I put her first, best in show on her nanner, nanner, nanner. Even she was good enough that even with my grooming and my spectacular handling skills, she still was able to get a best in show. And I still can see the 2,000 people after she won best in show at Westminster. I was asked to bring her back to the Washington State. And I brought her to the Seattle Kennel Club show when it was downtown Seattle. More than 2,000 people came to see her.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so I can still see them shouting and cheering. And besides that, I showed her in Puyallup for Dorothy's show in Puyallup. And I was a little late from, no, it was after she had jumped. And I was kind of speeding home and not paying attention. And I got pulled over by a police officer. And he let me out of a speeding ticket if he could see the dog.
There you go. Peggy Sue saved me from a speeding ticket.
So that's the rest of the story.
There you go. That's our Paul Harvey moment. I love it. Yeah. Oh, my God. All right. Vandra, I really appreciate your time. It is a joy to talk to you. And I wish you all the best as you finish up editing your Scotty journal.
Thank you very much. All right. Around the ring, ask me anything you want about Scotties.
I love it. All right, you guys. I know I've been talking about this a lot, but I just want to make sure everybody hears about it. I know every pet owner out there has questions about their pet's health. The Marty and Laura Show is here to help. Hosted by Dr. Marty and I, the new podcast delivers fun, fact-based conversations about all things pet health, whether it's a runny puppy nose or a kitty cough. This show is really designed for your puppy buyers, for your friends, for your non-dog folks in your life, you know, your cousins, uncles, brothers, girlfriend. So feel free to share this on. We encourage you to use this as a great resource for the non-dog people in your life. Talk on. As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our Dog Show Superintendents are the hardworking people who make the Dog Show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the Super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.